Okay, this evening now we're considering in our study Psalm 143. Psalm 143. I absolutely delight in reading the Psalms and studying the Psalms back in 2012 and 2013. Those two or three years, 2016, we went through 150 Psalms. There's 150 Psalms, and we considered every one of them. And in that study, back in 2013, we had this Psalm 143. Notice the title right below that. It says, A Psalm of David. A Psalm of David. David was a man after God's own heart. David was a man who was blessed to be the anointed king of Israel. And David confessed that his salvation was all the Lord's doing. He came to the Lord Jesus Christ as a mercy beggar. The Lord heard his cry and saved him by his grace. Now, I'm taking the title for the message from what is said in verse 11, where he says, Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For Christ's sake, that's what he's saying, quicken me, make me alive. I need salvation by your grace. Quicken me for Christ's sake. So the title of the message that I'm going to use is Life and Salvation Because of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Quicken me, raise me up from the dead. I recently heard a story of an old preacher. And he was brought before the council of religious men, and they were considering burning him to the stake for what they called heresy. And they asked this man, to whom they were going to pronounce judgment upon him. Now you think about that, being tied to a stake, having the wood piled at your feet, and then someone to light it. And they told him, well, just recant. Just quit preaching what you're preaching. He said, well, I can't do that. And then they asked the man, so the council asked the man, give me three reasons for your salvation. The man said without hesitation, well, reason number one is Christ. Well, what's the second reason? Well, the second reason is the Lord Jesus Christ. Well then, preacher, what's the third reason for your salvation? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that sums it all up, doesn't it? We have salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ because of His grace and mercy. Of His fullness have we all received grace for grace. The only reason for grace is God's grace. And it's of His grace and grace alone that we enjoy salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, salvation that we read of in the Scripture is totally dependent upon Him, Christ. So we're determined, dependent, and accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we always try to add this word, alone. The Lord Jesus Christ alone. He is salvation, and He wrought out salvation by His doing and dying, by the sacrifice of His obedience unto death and the shedding of His blood. Now, again, we see David, a man after God's own heart, calling upon the Lord in the time of trouble. And every believer has the same privilege and the same blessing to call upon the Lord all the time, not only in the time of trouble, but call upon the Lord all the time. We read in Romans 10, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. That's a wide word, isn't it? We are to rejoice evermore in the Lord Jesus Christ and pray without ceasing. Praying, like breathing, is the very life breath of the believer. We cannot live without breathing. Just hold your breath. Remember when you were a kid, you would see how long you could hold your breath and see who could hold it the longest? Well, you have to breathe to live, don't you? Praying like breathing is the very life breath of the believer. We cannot live without breathing, and a believer cannot live without praying. Without praying. It's the heart cry unto the Lord. David says there in verse 1, O Lord, hear my prayer. Cry. Hear my cry and my prayer. Prayer that's spontaneous from the heart and blessed by the Spirit of God is not something that's mechanical, cold, and dead. The disciples asked the Lord, Lord, teach us to pray. And there is that, in a sense, we need to be taught to pray, but prayer of the heart is something that's spontaneous, something that's born of the Spirit of God. It's the heart cry of every believer. And it goes something like this. It's not something that's regimental, cold and dead and mechanical. Lord, have mercy upon me, the sinner. That's the heart cry. Have mercy upon me, the sinner. The Lord heard that prayer and saved that man, as it's given there in Luke 18. Now, notice in verse 1, Psalm 143, hear my prayer, O Lord. Now, we don't pray to be seen of men. We don't pray to be heard of men. I know organized religion, they have the National Day of Prayer. And they all assemble publicly and pray publicly. But believers don't pray to be seen of men. They pray to be heard by God Almighty. What difference does it matter if to be seen of men? I don't want to pray to be seen of men and put on a show. Lord, hear my prayer. Now, think about this. What good would it do to pray if the Lord did not hear our prayer? What good would it do if the Lord did not hear our prayer? Because He is a living God, He can hear our prayer. We don't pray into a cold, dead idol, a statue, or a building, or a steeple, or a church. We call upon the living God. And because He is a living God, He can hear our cry. Not only that, because He is a covenant God who has obligated Himself by covenant mercies, He's obligated to hear the cry of His people. You see, He ever lives to make intercession for us. We call upon the name of the Lord, and He hears our cry. He ever lives to intercede for us. Now, notice carefully in that first verse what David says there. Lord, hear my prayer. Give ear to my supplication. Now, he doesn't say, Lord, hear me because I'm the king. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, hear me because I've won many battles for the Lord. He doesn't say, hear me because I killed that giant Goliath. He doesn't mention anything or any reason that God would hear him but for this reason alone. In thy faithfulness, answer me. And in thy righteousness. Now, those two key words there, thy faithfulness and thy righteousness. Now, the only reason God would show mercy to any sinner and any of us is because that He is faithful. And because He is the righteous God. He delights to answer our prayer when we pray according to His will. And when we do, we pray, Lord, not my will, thy will be done. We do not ask to be heard upon or because of our faithfulness. or because of our righteousness. Well, preacher, do you have any righteousness? Not in and of myself, I don't. The best I have, God said, is filthy rags in His sight. But the faithfulness that we depend upon is the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has made unto us our righteousness. He's called in Scripture the Lord our righteousness. And we ask to be heard because the Lord Jesus Christ is faithful. The Lord Jesus Christ is the righteous servant of the Lord. Our blessed Lord is faithful to all of His covenant promises. Of all that He has spoken, how many promises of God will fail? How many promises of God have failed? None. We read just a moment ago, He cannot fail. He cannot fail because He is God. Our Lord, our blessed Lord is faithful to all of His covenant promises. The Lord said, I will be their God and they shall be my people. His faithfulness, His righteousness alone. That is all our salvation. Now, this is interesting in verse 2, Psalm 143, verse 2. David declares three things here. Enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight, in the sight of God, shall no man, no person, no one living will be justified. Justified. Now that's an interesting statement. David declares three things here. He declares who he is. Thy servant. You see that? He mentions that again in the last statement he makes in verse 12. I am thy servant. I am thy servant. Y'all can't think of a higher title than to be a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Men who have been drafted in the army or who have enlisted, they're in the service of the country. And I guess that's honorable and that is good. But I can't think of a higher title than to be known as the servant of the Lord. The servant of the Lord and being put in the ministry. And all of His people serve His purpose. All of His people are in the ministry. The Apostle Paul often referred to himself as the servant of the Lord, didn't he? The servant of the Lord. That's who he is, the servant, and then what he knows. Here's what he knows. He knows that no man is justified by the deeds of the law. In the sight of God, no flesh shall be justified in His sight by the doing of the law. Perhaps you entertained ideas of being justified by keeping those Ten Commandments. Well, you broke every one, every day, every minute. And the law says you're guilty. That's what the law says. We're guilty. And we cannot be justified by the deeds of the law. That's what he's saying there. In thy sight shall no man living be justified. We're going to see that in our study in Romans chapter 3. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in God's sight. Something else he knew that salvation was of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. He planned it. He purposed it. He executes it. He applies it. He sustains it. Salvation is all of His doing alone. David says that over here in Psalm 37, 39, if you want to find that and read it. Psalm 37, 39. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Salvation is of the Lord, is it not? Isn't that a blessing? It comes from Him. He planned it. He purposed it. He executed it. He applies it. He sustains it. And then what He asked for. What He asked for here in verse 3, He asked for mercy. Enter not into judgment with thy servant. I don't want what's coming to me. Some people say, well, all I want is what I've earned. Really? You want to stand before God on the basis of what you've earned? The wages of sin is death. But thank God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I don't want judgment. I want mercy. That's why David says in Psalm 51, remember, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my sin. David desired to meet God at the mercy seat, not the judgment seat. And that's where I want to meet God, the mercy seat. You know the story of the mercy seat over the Ark of the Covenant and how the blood was put on that mercy seat. And God said, I'll meet you there at the mercy seat. And that is all typical and type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our mercy seat. This is the believer's desire to be justified before God in the Lord Jesus Christ, being accepted in the Beloved. Don't enter into judgment with me. Have mercy upon me. Could you pray that way? Lord, have mercy upon me. Mercy is God not giving me what I deserve. What do you deserve? Well, are you a sinner? Yep. Born in sin, shaped in iniquity. What do you deserve? Judgment. Judgment. Thank God He delights to show mercy to sinners. He delights to show mercy. Now look at verse 3. The enemy. The enemy. David had a lot of enemies, didn't he? His own father-in-law. Some of his own family hunted him and hated him, hurt him. The enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath spent my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead or have been dead a long time. Now, the enemy. Satan is called the accuser of the brethren, and he is the enemy to the Lord's people. But the Lord Jesus Christ has conquered and defeated that enemy. He's no longer an enemy to us. The Lord Jesus Christ has conquered sin, death, hell, and the grave for us, and has given us the victory over sin in Christ Jesus. But I believe what he's saying here, this enemy that he's referring to the enemy of his soul that has smitten his life down to the ground, that made him to dwell in darkness as someone who has been dead. Here's what he's talking about. He's talking about the enemy of his own sinful heart that smites him down to the ground. Isn't that our chief problem right now? It's our own sin that has smitten us to the ground and persecuted our soul. The Apostle Paul, the servant of the Lord, said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. The good that I would, I don't do. And the evil that I would not, that's what I do. Romans chapter 7. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Oh, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our sin has made us to dwell in darkness. By nature, we've been long dead because of sin. God must quicken and make us alive. And thank God He does by His grace. Now look at verse 4. Therefore, He said, when I consider the enemy, in talking about our own sinful self, that persecutes our soul, that smites us down to the ground, that makes us to dwell in darkness like those that have been dead. By nature, we love darkness, not light. That's us by nature. Therefore, he says in verse 4, therefore. Now, someone recently said, in my hearing, and my pastor used to say this all the time, whenever you see the word therefore, in verse 4, you see it, therefore, find out what it's there for. Because it refers back to what has just been said. The enemy persecuting my soul and smiting me down to the ground and making me to dwell in darkness. Therefore, is my spirit overwhelmed within me and my heart within me desolate. Desolate. It reminded me of some of the old timers we read of in Scripture. Job and Isaiah and others. Job said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor and I hate myself. I repent in dust and ashes. Isaiah, the prophet of God, he said this in Isaiah 6. When he saw the Lord high and lifted up, he said, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. When considering the effects of our sin, how many times we've sinned against God, our spirit and our heart is overwhelmed within us. You know that we, now listen carefully, we cannot not sin. Just stop. You cannot not stop. You cannot not sin. You can't stop sinning. Preacher, are you a sinner? Absolutely. Born in sin, shapen in iniquity. Sin is what we are. And because of the conviction of our sin, and our sin is against God, therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me, my heart within me, you know what cries? Guilty. Guilty. Guilty before God. You know, that's a good place to be. You know why? Grace is for the guilty. Mercy is for the miserable. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. A man doesn't know by nature that he is a sinner. A man doesn't know by nature that he has sinned against God. That is something that God must teach us and reveal unto us. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's what it says in 1 John. Now, look at verse 5. My spirit's overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate, guilty, vile, wretched, none righteous, no, not one. Now, look at verse 5. David said, then I remember all the good things I've done for God. You see, David's seeking comfort and assurance. My heart is overwhelmed. My spirit's overwhelmed. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old, and I meditate on all thy works. You see that? I ponder on all the work of thy hand. Now, when sin depresses us, our only recourse for refreshing is what the Lord has done for us, not what we have done for Him. Notice it's His works and the work of thy hands, not our works. Now just sit still, let me read this to you. Psalm 92, 4 and 5, if you want to look at it. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. Psalm 92, 4. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither does a fool understand. Thou hast made me glad through what you have done for me. You see, we don't look for assurance or comfort upon the things. Well, preacher, you've preached thousands of sermons, and I have. But do I get any comfort or assurance from anything or of anything that I have ever done? No. My comfort and assurance is in Christ, what He has done for us. You see, it's the work of His hand. His hand. Now, here's another reference I've got jotted down here in Psalm 111. I like that number. I can't mess it up. Psalm 111, 111. Look at verse 3. His work is honorable, glorious. His righteousness endureth forever. He hath made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. You see, salvation is by the doing of the Lord Jesus Christ. He prayed in John 17, you remember? Father, I've glorified Thee on the earth. I finished the work You gave me to do. Salvation is based upon His obedience unto death, not ours. When sin depresses us, our only recourse for refreshing is unto the Lord. The salvation that we enjoy is not by our works. Now, the Scriptures make that completely clear and plain, doesn't it? Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. God who saved us according to His power and glory, not according to our works. Salvation is of the Lord, and it's His doing. Preacher, why do you keep saying that? Well, that's the truth, isn't it? Truth needs to be repeated. The truth will set you free. Now look at verse 6. I look to Thee. I stretch forth my hands unto Thee. My soul thirsteth after Thee as a thirsty land. Now, man or sinners thirst after naturally? What do they thirst after naturally? Man drinks iniquity like the water. That's what it says in the Scripture. That's what we are by nature. We drink iniquity like the water. But what He's saying here is having a spiritual thirst. A spiritual thirst for the living waters of the living God. In verse 6, He says, I look to Thee. I stretch forth my hand. And that's the hand of faith. I stretch forth my hand unto Thee. You see, this is a look of faith. The hand of faith reaches only out to Christ. The thirst of faith is only quenched by the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember David said in Psalm 42, as the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after Thee. It's only by His grace that we thirst for the water of life. The Lord said, if any man thirst, let him come unto Me and drink. Ho, everyone that is thirsty, come ye to the waters. You remember the Lord told the woman at the well there in Samaria, you drink of that natural water, you'll thirst again. But if you drink of that water that I give you, there shall be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You remember what she said? Lord, give me that water. That's thirsting and seeking salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Now look at verse 7. Hear me. Hear me. O Lord. Again, He says, my spirit fails. Hide not Thy face from me, lest I be like them that go down, go down, go down, and go down into the pit of everlasting despair. The only thing God has to do to send us to eternal condemnation justly is to leave us to our own wicked self. If God sent you to hell, would He be doing right? Absolutely. If He ever teaches you that lesson, you'll say amen. If God sent me to hell, He'd be doing right. That's what I deserve. That's not what I want. By His grace, I want salvation in Christ. That's why He said, hide not your face from me. The glory of God shines in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me see Christ. Let me see Him. Now, in verse 8, all the way down through verse 12, we have a sevenfold request that David prays unto the Lord. Now he says twice, "Lord, hear me speedily, my spirit faileth, give ear to my supplication." What would the man after God's own heart pray for? What would he pray for? "The Lord, I pray that I never have a sick day. Lord, I pray that you give me wealth, health, vitality, popularity, all these things." He doesn't even mention that. You see, the things that we need are spiritual blessings. Notice these seven things here, and my time is gone, and we won't have time to look at these carefully. But first of all, he says, "Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning." Let me hear it. When I wake up in the first thing in the morning, or when, if you're like me, I wake up 12:30 in the morning, about 2:30 in the morning, about 4:30 in the morning, and usually about 5:30 in the morning. I usually get up about 6. I get up. The morning comes often for me. "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning." What's His loving kindness? It's His mercy. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness." When you wake up in the morning, whenever that hour may be, "Lord, cause me to hear and think about your loving kindness, your mercy unto me." That might help us to sleep. I always think of that scripture when I have a restless night. "He giveth his beloved sleep." And I think, I'm not his beloved. "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust." When are we to trust the Lord? At all times, ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is the refuge for us. That's Psalm 62. The second thing he says here, "Cause me to know the way." Now notice, "Cause me to hear, cause me to know the way." Now, this is not popular in our society today. They think there's many ways of salvation. My own brother told me one time, said, after I attended my dad's funeral, and he took me back to the airport, and he said, "Well, you know, there's many ways." He said, "Salvation is like climbing up a mountain. When you get to the top of that mountain, you have salvation, but there's a lot of different ways to climb up that mountain." Well, you know, that might sound good to a lost religious man, but according to the Word of God, there's just one way of salvation. It's a narrow way. It's a restricted way. The Lord said, "I am the way." There is no salvation for anyone apart from being found in Christ. He is salvation. "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk." We walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, seeking Him. "For I lift up my soul unto thee." I look unto thee. Verse 9, he said, "Deliver me." Deliver me. Who else would? Who else could? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Redeemer. You know what that means? That means He's the Deliverer. "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of His grace. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies, from my sin. I flee unto Thee to hide me." Where do you want to be found when the Lord comes? I want to be found in Him. Where do you want to be found when the Lord comes for you? The days and the minutes of your life are gone. I want to be found in Christ. Verse 10, teach me to do thy will. Now, we need to be taught. I think of this scripture in John 6, where it said, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. All those who have heard and learned of the Father, they come to Christ. He is the lesson. Teach me to do thy will. What is the will of the Lord? Bow to Christ. Submit to Christ. For thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. The Lord is good. There's none good but God. He says here, lead me into the land of uprightness, into the land of salvation by His righteousness. Lead me. Now, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. We need a shepherd, a good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, to lead me. Where He leads me, I will follow. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Verse 11, quicken me. Quicken me. Quicken me. What does that mean? Make me alive. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the living Word. Quicken me. You have He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. O Lord, and do it for Thy name's sake, for Your glory's sake. Do it for Christ's sake. Now, pencil in Ephesians 4:32, where He said, we are to love one another and to forgive one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The only reason for salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. For Thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. Because You're righteous. Bring my soul out of trouble. Verse 12, and of Thy mercy, cut off my enemies according to Your mercy. Destroy all them that afflict my soul according to Your mercy. For I am Thy servant, the servant of the Lord. Quicken me. The only ground to stand upon for any sinner is the ground of mercy. The ground of mercy. Destroy all my enemies. I'm Your servant. I'm Yours. Take me, Lord. My beloved is mine. You remember? Song of Solomon. My beloved is mine, and I'm His. To you who believe, He is precious. I am Thy servant.